Welcome to Psychic Cowgirl Radio. This is your host, Reverend Shannon, the Psychic Cowgirl. My intention with this show is to share information, practical cowgirl wisdom, and tools to aid you on your personal development journey. I am a natural-born intuitive and psychic. I see and feel energies and connections. I use my talents to help clients become more aware of their own intuition and to tap into energies to create their dream life. I also see the energies and possibilities, timelines, and threads, which helps clients see where they could go, what all the possibilities are, and that's very exciting. I do believe in divine guidance, karma, and that intentions are the key to any situation. I offer clarity and understanding from a soul-level perspective. Sometimes a little guidance is all we require to step into our power and move forward in our life. You can find out more about me on my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. I also have a Facebook page you can join, Psychic Cowgirl, and please feel free to share any comments or questions through the page, or you can email me from my website or simply at shannon@psychiccowgirl.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and let's begin today's show. Good morning. How is everybody on this lovely Wednesday? It's nice and sunny here and no snow yet, so that makes me very happy. It's the time of year where we talk about snow almost every day, hoping it doesn't show up. So, let's talk about the chakras, or some people call them energy centers in the body. I'm dealing with some crazy situations right now. If you read my blog, you'll know what I'm talking about it, but I'm going to share that all with you. I'm dealing with a ton of root chakra energy situations, a lot. Now, this has kind of been a theme, I'm going to call it, for 2014. Like I've shared before, we're really looking at what we're doing in our life, what our priorities are, perhaps even where we're living. All these things are being brought to our attention for us to look at and decide what to do with it. It's kind of can be completely unnerving, but there's a reason and a purpose for it, right? All right. My voice is a little scratchy because I've been in a lot of meetings lately dealing with a situation involving the school bus and my children, and I will share that with you. But I want to start talking about the root chakra and how this all fits together. So chakras radiate and receive energy constantly. It's through our chakras that we have our intuition can happen, and just all these feelings and emotions, it's all energy and it's constantly moving through. Sometimes energies can get stuck, like if we find that we're obsessing on things, can be something, an energy stuck in our chakras, which is why we do the chakra cleanse every week on this show now, because we're just dealing with it so much. It feels like at times we're constantly bombarded and we have to work through stuff, which is the way of the world right now, so we just have to roll with it and figure out how to handle it, right? Okay. Sometimes when we're on this spiritual journey, we can be focused on the enlightenment part of it, on the being more intuitive part of it, on, you know, finding out what our soul purpose is. And those can all be the top chakras, like from the solar plexus up, but there's the bottom chakras, right? The root, the sacral. Those ones, sometimes we tend to ignore them when we're focusing, you know, on the more spiritual aspects, and we need to not do that.
I know good grammar. I am a little rattled the last couple of weeks with the things that are going on, and as soon as I share it with you, you'll understand. So we have to focus a lot of times on our root chakra and our sacral chakra because we need those strong, we need those to support the rest of our chakra energies. That's why it's important. So the lower ones can focus on details such as our home, family, feelings, while the upper ones are, you know, about our views and wisdom and understanding the grand order of things. So let's, this root chakra one, it talks about, it's the red one, it talks about I have the right to be here. It relates to issues of physical safety and security. They include money, career, home, needs and possessions, fears about not having enough money, homes, needs, and possessions can cause your root chakra to shrink in size and be dark and dirty. If you are find yourself obsessed with money, career, possessions, you can create a dirty root chakra that's extremely large. When open, clean, and balanced, you feel grounded, stable, and secure. Grounded, stable, and secure. That's what we want. I learned a new trick about grounding our energy from the counselor because of all this situation. So with your feet flat on the floor, a really great way to ground yourself is just press your toes into the ground and visualize those roots connecting deep into the earth. But just press your toes and your heels right into that ground. It's an instantaneous grounding. I love it. I love it. She was teaching this to us and the kids, and I'm so impressed. Because if you do it right now, you can feel your energy just grounding into the earth. We need the earth. The earth is our foundation. The more we connect to it and, you know, use that energy, let it flow through us, let it help us, the better our world will be. So if you get that floaty head feeling, you know, where you just feel, oh, man, I can't concentrate, I can't focus, you are not grounded, right? And it's to do with the root chakra energies. Do that feet thing. Just press your feet flat into the floor as hard as you can, visualizing those roots. I completely love this. I'll do this lots with you every time I think of it. Because if you are imbalanced in this first chakra, it can lead to feeling anxious, insecure, that your sense of safety and stability and support are threatened. This can lead to a reactionary, what about me attitude, greediness, or an insensitivity to others. It can really mess us up, right? One of the ways to balance this root chakra is walking barefoot and connecting to the earth, eating root vegetables. Wear the color red. Cleaning your house and decluttering also balances this chakra. Look around. If there's some areas of your house where you are getting more cluttered than usual, investigate why. There's a message in there for you. Intuition from our root chakra can come in the form of energy sent out to gather information. So when you walk into a room and you're looking for a place that is comfortable to you, a place where you feel safe and secure with people you feel a connection with, these are all root chakra energies. It's giving you messages, important messages. To go over some of those vegetables to eat if you're feeling ungrounded, carrots, potatoes, onions, garlic, protein-rich foods, eat beef. Of course I'm going to say that. I'm a cattle rancher. Eat beef. Eggs, tofu, peanut butter, soy products. All these things will help you with your root chakra. Now, I'm going to share with you what's going on because I am rattled. I am disgusted I am concerned. So I did share with you last week that our school bus had gotten into an accident. It was a collision. It was on the 4-lane highway. The school bus did not see a car and proceeded to cross and sent that car flying through the air, rolling, and landing on its side. We are so incredibly blessed because no one was hurt. No one. None of the 15 children on board, the driver of the other car, the school bus driver, everybody is fine. So incredibly blessed. For those of you that know about our Highway 16, it's a major 4-lane highway, and it is a little bit, let's call it challenging at times. It's, people drive fast. People are in a hurry. Sometimes the road conditions are a little bit scary. I mean, on this day, there was none of that. Did find out that the school bus driver was not feeling well. Perhaps she should not have been driving, but that is something that has to be investigated by our student transportation department. I'm still driving my children because I don't feel safe and secure with this situation at all. So I wrote a blog about this yesterday, and I have to tell you that I wrote it the day before, and I had to do a lot of editing because it's an emotional thing. And in this process of figuring out what happened and how things are being handled, it's become me that there is far more safety protocols in the oil patch with truck drivers and big commercial vehicles than there is for our school buses. That is completely outrageous. Completely outrageous. There's no words to describe. You know, our oil patch in Alberta gets a bad reputation. But seriously, this is simply unacceptable. Simply unacceptable. And I am not backing down. I am doing what I can to ensure that this situation gets resolved in a manner that we, as parents, can put our children on a school bus and expect that they are going to get there safely. It's not an unreasonable expectation at all. Our school bus has a history of breaking down. Our student transportation department we deal with has a history of not listening to us parents. I'm hoping that has changed. I indicated such in our meeting yesterday. But time will tell, right? They have to prove to us now that they're going to do something about this. So far, I'm not that impressed at all. So I'm going to read you my blog, and I may get emotional because it was, but it's the easiest way for me to describe what happened. So here I go. On Thursday, September 18th at 8:22 a.m., I received a phone call from a friend who said, "Were your boys on the bus today?" "Yes," I replied. She says, "Did you know it was in an accident?" "What? How come I've not received a phone call?" She did not have many details. And while I was talking to her in shock and trying not to panic, a call did come through from the transportation department in charge of our school buses. A very slow-speaking, calm voice informed me that the school bus had been involved in a collision on the 4-lane highway. As she's speaking, I'm thinking in my mind, please talk faster. Please talk faster. I need to know these details quicker. Please talk faster. As she said this, though, a sick feeling slammed into my entire body. She said everybody was okay, that ambulances and fire trucks were being dispatched to the scene, and another bus would be sent out to take the children to school. Again, I'm thinking, please talk faster, please talk faster. I said to her, "Well, can I go get my children?" And she said yes and gave me directions to the scene. I immediately hung up, did a whole bunch of deep breaths to calm myself down before I called my husband to tell him what happened. and before I got into my truck to drive, because I wasn't about to drive when I'm like in full panic mode, because that just doesn't work. Unfortunately, my husband was, you know, way back in the bush working at his job, and so he was at least 2 hours away. So I jumped in my truck. I drove to the scene of the collision, perhaps a little faster than I should have, but I was being very, very cautious. As I was driving down the four-lane highway, eastbound, I came over a hill, and in the ditch on the left-hand side was a smashed-up white car on its side, and it was a few yards away from where the school bus was parked. It was terrifying. I will never forget seeing that and feeling absolutely horrified and scared that my children, maybe they weren't okay and they didn't want to tell me, you know, that they didn't want me panicked and freaking out. I know I pulled up and I had to cross the two lanes to get onto the side road where the bus was parked. And I was so jittery and so worried that I couldn't even, like, think. There was a black truck parked in front of me, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Are you going? Are you not going? And then there's a white truck that came across, and I'm like, what are you doing? Are you going? Are you not going? Where can I go? Where is safe? You know, all these things go through your mind so quickly because you just want to get to your children, but you don't want to cause anything else to happen. It's amazing how fast your thought processes are at this kind of a time. So I made it across after I figured out where I could go. I jumped out of my truck. I immediately saw one of my friends, and we both had tears. But I also looked in the bus. I saw my oldest son at the front because he saw me coming, and the relief that was in his eyes to see me. There are no words. There are none. He was so happy because seeing his mom made him feel like everything was going to be okay. And then my other son saw me. He's a little more roll with the punches kind of guy, which is good energetically. My oldest son is a lot more sensitive. So, of course, I hugged them. I hugged my friend's children. I hugged my friends. I hugged the bus driver. It was so incredibly scary because you just know there's the energies at these situations, right? And you just knew that seconds, a mere matter of seconds, and this could have been a very different story. Horrifying. Horrifying. So the acting director of student transportation was there, and he told us that the bus driver had crossed the first two lanes. She was waiting in the in-between part, I don't know what the official word is, to cross the other two lanes. She waited for a black truck to pass her and then started to cross. Thank goodness she wasn't going very fast, but she didn't see this white car. She didn't see it at all. And she hit it. The white car hit the front of the bus. Sent him flying. And the children saw that. That's an image that I don't know if my younger son saw it. He heard it, he said. He didn't see it. But my older son did see it. And he said that image of that car flying through the air, doors opening, stuff flying out, will never leave him. Ever. And then, thankfully, that driver walked out of that car unharmed. Apparently he was swearing a little, but hey, I don't blame him. I don't blame him one little bit. A lot of pastor words came out of his mouth. Angels were sure watching over everyone. We are so incredibly blessed, so blessed. But having said that, we have a history with this bus that's not positive. And so thankfully nothing happened, you know, that, I mean, because it, like I said, it could have been so much worse. But there's an opportunity that presented itself here. There's blessings. So as soon as we were released from the collision site, the principal was there and he talked to us and said that they would have counseling at the school for all of us. So I gathered my children and drove them to school very carefully. There was a lot of careful parents that morning. A lot of parents were slow getting there because they had to go and hug their children, and probably everybody cried. I wanted to hold it together because I was worried that if I started, I wouldn't stop, and my husband wasn't there. So we had this counseling session, which I'm so happy about, even if she did scare the stuffing out of me. At one point when she was talking to us parents, she said that we almost all lost people we loved that day. I hadn't even thought about that yet. I was just focused on keeping calm, making sure everyone knew they were safe. I hadn't even gone there. It took everything in me not to completely lose it. Because, like I said in my blog, I know if I would have lost it, so would everybody else in that room. If one of the other parents would have lost it, absolutely, we all would have joined in. Because it was horrifying, completely horrifying. I waited till my husband got there. He didn't get there till after all the counseling. And we had a big event that the parent council and our fundraising group was putting on that night. So I didn't take my children home. They stayed at school. But the school handled that very well because they, you know, eased up on the learning of that day. Because, I mean, this didn't affect just our children on that bus. It affected our whole community. Rumors were flying before we even got back to the school that it was way worse than it was. The kids, when the driver got out of the car, my oldest son told me that he reached back in the back seat and was pulling something out, and they all thought it might have been a baby seat, a child seat, and they were all freaking out, but it was something else, thank goodness. So there was lots of rumors flying because, you know, this gets people emotional, this gets people worked up. It was really, really, really unreal. Surreal, definitely surreal. Once my husband got there and drove me home to have a shower and get ready, because I hadn't even done that when I got the call, I did lose it then. We did hear that our bus driver had been up all night sick. Should she have been driving that day? Probably not. But this is another issue we have with this busing situation. We are told that there's no other bus drivers. Whenever she's not feeling well or something like that happens, the response is always, there's nobody else to drive, I have to. Makes us very uncomfortable, but we've tried to speak with the director of transportation, who is now retired. I did cheer at that news because he was not open. But nothing ever happened. It was like we were never taken seriously. And when she tells us nobody else is available to drive, we don't know what to do. I mean, do we drive our children every day? We could. I am now, because this has gotten far too serious for my comfort zone. But you have to also trust in people are doing their jobs. I mean, if she's getting on a bus every day to drive it that's not safe, she's making that choice. Her contractor's making that choice. Student transportation not doing anything is making that choice. Simply not acceptable. Simply not acceptable. So continuing back to the day of the collision, after the crisis counseling meeting at the school, we were reassured that there would be a different bus and driver to transport children home that needed it. We were informed that the bus driver involved in the collision was told not to drive, to take care of herself instead. And we were all concerned about her, so we were happy to hear that. Like I said, our school had a big event that night that our parents were putting on, so most of our children didn't require that safe ride home because they had us. The end of that day, when we were, you know, we'd been setting up, we were getting everything ready, I had a frantic phone call from a friend to make sure her kids did not get on the bus as she was running late. She had called the school and, you know, did the proper protocol, but, you know, because it was a chaotic day, she wanted that reassurance. I stepped outside to make sure that I laid eyes on her children and give them the message that their mom was on her way. And, you know, they were involved in some of the activities, so they were staying. And my husband was out there because he was volunteering for the run that we had. And he said to me, "Did you know that the bus driver's in the bus right now to take kids home?" I'm like, "What do you mean? No, she's not. She can't be. She was told not to." He's like, "No, she is." So I went over to the bus to verify, because what? Sure enough, I said, "Why are you driving?" "Well, there's nobody else to drive." My heart just dropped. I felt sick. I thought, if my children were supposed to be on that bus, I would have been horrified. I would have been terrified. I would have been mad. So right then and there, I made sure that I laid eyes and touched every one of my friends' children who wasn't supposed to be on the bus, just to make sure. Seriously, this is appalling. How did this happen? Now, with that situation and her decision-making skills, did she think about how the children would feel? Did she think about how the parents would feel? Granted, she was probably in shock from the accident, but she was told not to drive. One of the moms who was volunteering that day called transportation immediately. The conversation did not go well. The acting director of transportation didn't believe her, said, "No, she's not." My mom friend is like, "Hello, yes, she is. I saw her with my own eyes." He's like, "No, she's not supposed to be driving. She's not driving. She's pulling away from the school right now with children on that bus." Needless to say, he had to do a lot of apologizing to that parent later. The damage was already done, though. Again, we have a history with this transportation department that's not good. He did not help that cause at all. So I called. I said, "Why is she driving the children home?" His answer to me was, "Good question. We'll be looking into it." Are you kidding me? All right, then. This was the start of me saying, this is not acceptable. They are not doing their job. They have not been doing their job, because we knew our bus wasn't safe. Every parent that walks their children to the bus or walks out to the bus to pick up their children in the afternoons knew this bus has major issues. It has a history of breaking down. It even started on fire once. I was standing out with my kids waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And, of course, we play all morning while we're waiting for the bus. I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute. It's been a lot of time. I should go check my phone." Sure enough, a friend, not transportation, a friend had called me because before the bus got to her house, it had started on fire. And they were sending out another bus. Okay. It broke down at my driveway. It had no heat. I had to get all the kids off. And then a friend that, you know, who was involved or was there when the bus started on fire, who knew about that, she had to pick up her kids at the corner. Luckily, here's the thing. In our area, we drive our kids a lot. No surprise why, right? Because our bus isn't always reliable. So there wasn't very many kids on the bus that morning, so thank goodness. And I ended up driving a friend's kids in because she had already gone about her day. Everybody has jobs. And so, you know, we made sure we had permission and everything, of course. This is the middle of winter, no heat. Not the first time. She's actually driven children all the way to school, and heat was an issue. All of these, they make me uneasy about the bus, the driver, the contractor who owns the bus, and the student transportation department. What is going on? More than a few times, I messaged a mom friend who drives her children to school and asked if the bus made it safely. Did you lay eyes on my kids? And we've tried. We've tried to talk about this, and it's not an open conversation. The day that the bus broke down, it left the school, was back shortly after. We were actually doing another volunteer activity, pulling snow fence from around the playground. And the bus rolls up, and we're all kind of horrified, like, "Are you all okay?" So we, you know, made sure all the children were safe and they felt cared for. The director of transportation at that time, he did come to the school. I tried to speak with him about some of the issues. He pulled out his phone and started checking email. True story. You know, he was very good at letting us know that he was not interested, didn't want to hear from us. Fine. There was another day. It was blizzarding, completely blizzarding. Buses were running. The problem is we are 45 minutes west of where the bus department is. So things can happen here, blizzards, that aren't happening there. So I sent an email saying, hey, the bus should not be running today. This is outrageous. I got a very nice reply, probably because my email was, you know, between 6 and 6:30 in the morning. I put on social media the email address for all the other parents in my area, other schools. They received a lot of emails. Pretty soon the reply wasn't so nice. At one point, one of the replies was, we do extensive research before we decide if the bus can go or not. Really? Really? That's total BS. It's blizzarding here, and you expect the buses to go. Not cool. Not cool at all. They canceled the buses the next day, probably because the storm hit their area and was already over here. Like, really? It's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. And this is a fight we've had. And other schools in our area have had. So, as I said, I've been driving my children. I did have a meeting yesterday with our deputy superintendent and the acting director of transportation. You know what's one of the first things they said to me? Is that they had a third-party independent safety audit on that school bus, and it failed spectacularly. Those were her words. If she expected us to be shocked, we weren't. I did reply to her, thank you for being honest about that, because I don't feel they have been. There's all this talk about transparency in reporting information, keeping everybody in the loop. BS. There was a lot of PR that went on in my meeting yesterday, mainly because I sent a very detailed email and I CC'd it to everybody I could think of. I did miss the Minister of Transportation, so I might have to, you know, get on that part. They had my email printed out. They had notes on it. They were wanting to address everything I brought up. Did I feel heard? Yes. Do I feel they'll do anything? Time will tell. I don't know. Because there was a lot of PR that went on, like I said. They did change our bus route so that we're not crossing the four-lane highway. But then the acting director of transportation says to me, because now our bus does cross train tracks. We were always told previously that they were not allowed to cross train tracks. It was too dangerous. He says to me in our meeting yesterday, the train tracks scare the hell out of him. As I cough and go, what? So what are you doing about it? I said to him, have you looked into if another bus that has a different route that comes from the other side of the highway, if they could pick up these kids and not have to cross train tracks? He said, no, I haven't looked into that. Again, inspiring a lot of confidence. Nice. Very nice. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I do know that I have to trust my instincts, my spidey senses, and right now they say do not put my children on that bus. Failed spectacularly. And apparently, because every time we complain and say, you know, our bus, it's not safe, they reassure us by saying it gets a safety every 6 months. Of course it's safe. Really? Well, they were just proven that that was a crock. The bus had a safety inspection in August, so what, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and it failed spectacularly. Again, the oil patch has so much more safety regulations and protocols than it is for our school buses. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. I also found out that with this safe work legislation that's happened, and I'll have to investigate when that went through. But I asked them, okay, let's talk snow days. So if the bus driver doesn't feel like it's safe for her to go, but she has to go anyway, what's the deal with that? You know what they told me? She has the right to refuse to drive the bus if she doesn't feel it safe. My mouth dropped open in shock. It seriously did. That's not what we're told. Now, is it the bus driver? Is it the contractor? Or is it transportation trying to cover their butts? Hard to say. But he told us the bus drivers have the right to refuse to drive if the weather is unsafe or the bus is unsafe. That has not happened in this case. So if she has that right and is not doing it, why? Don't know. They also told us, when I said, what about all these times our bus has broken down and we've had to drive our kids to school? You know, I know you have this new call-out thing that probably wasn't in place before. He said, because I had mentioned this in my email that got me the meeting, that he did research this and there was no record of any of it. Are you kidding me? I spent 10 minutes this morning going over messages to friends and stuff, and I found 3 instances in 10 minutes of when this bus has broke down. So I sent that to them. I said, here's some dates. Go check. One of these dates, the director of transportation had come out to the school. There should be record of that one. I'm also going to check with our principal because he should have record, right? Because he has to get the call that the kids are going to be late or however that works. There is just so much shady, shifty things going on here. So much shady, shifty. Are you kidding me? So I don't know what's going to happen with this. It's kind of one of those situations where I have to do what I can. Wait and see. We do have a whole group of parents working on this. We are standing together as a community to create these changes because it's not acceptable. Because I'm pretty sure it's not just our bus, right? I know other parents have troubles with their busing, and it's scary. This should always be about the safety of those students on that bus. This playing politics or covering up or not wanting to give the proper information to not get into trouble is a crock of shit. Of those students has to come first. And if that's not happening, which is obvious, there better be changes, and there better be changes quickly. Quickly. This is just simply not acceptable. If there's not, I'm perfectly willing to drive my children for the rest of the year. I have to take a stand. Yes, it's inconvenient because, you know, like most parents, we all have businesses and jobs. But you know what? This is important. This is important. And I feel like we're being PR'd and politicked. Not acceptable. I'm not letting this go. I will do what I can. It's not something to be taken lightly. We are so lucky that this accident was not more serious. So lucky. That is a blessing. But let's not, you know, as a community, we are not letting this opportunity to create change pass us by. And if things go as I kind of vision they'll go, this will become Alberta-wide. There has to be better safety regulations for school bus. There just has to be. The protocols and the things that are happening now are not acceptable. Not acceptable. So this is all this root chakra energy I'm dealing with. I've had to do a lot of work on myself to keep my root chakra balanced and grounded, and then upwards of the rest of my chakras, because it's so easy to be emotional. This is emotional. I could go into these meetings screaming, what about the safety of our children? You're not taking it seriously. But that's not effective for me. It just isn't. I need to be calm, cool, and collected and say, and hold people accountable energetically and with words. Right now, how I'm feeling is, you know what? Actions speak way louder than words. Everything they shared with us yesterday, oh, let me tell you how hard that was. Oh, I'll have to save that other juicy tidbit for another show, how I kind of got bullied, a bit of a runaround on setting up this meeting. Yeah. Lots of shady, shifty things going on. Lots. So having said that, I'm going to play our chakra balancing meditation, and then I'll chat with you again right after.
This is a meditation to balance and cleanse our chakras. I'd like you to sit up straight, have your feet flat on the floor, nothing crossed. Give yourself a nice breath in and out. I would like you to visualize or imagine deep, thick roots growing out the bottom of your feet, deep, deep into Mother Earth. Feel yourself grounding and connecting with Mother Earth with those deep, thick roots. Nice breath in and out. Now, imagine or visualize a white ball of energy coming up from each of those roots into the bottom of your feet. Visualize or imagine those balls of light traveling up your leg. You may feel a warm, tingling sensation. Move those balls of light up your leg, through your shin, past your knees, up your thighs, higher, higher. And then both balls of white light are going to join together at your root chakra, at your pelvis. Your root chakra deals with feelings and energies of having the right to be here. The root chakra is symbolized as red. I want you to imagine or visualize a red ball. Symbolism is personal, but I want you to have something that you're focusing on. So if it's a red ball, I want you to start spinning it until it's bright, shiny, shiny red. Right now, it may look cloudy or dirty. It may be really big or it may be really small. I want you to spin this ball of energy until it's shiny, bright, sparkly red. Spinning, spinning. The root chakra deals with energies of money, career, home, needs, and possessions. So it's really important to have this one balanced. I want you to spin it, spin it, spin it until it's bright and shiny. If you are having trouble visualizing or imagining, Archangel Raphael will be there to help you. Archangel Raphael is also going to vacuum away all the cruddy energy that comes off your chakras. So spinning, spinning, spinning. We like to give this one a really good cleanse. Spin it just a smidge more. Fantastic. You are doing great. Okay? Now this one is all shiny clean and it's in your body. Again, there's no way to do this wrong. Now, I want you to move up to your sacral chakra, which is located midway between your pelvis and the base of your spine. This one's an orange ball of light. I want you to spin that one. This is where we have our feelings and emotions. Let's spin that one until it's bright, shiny orange. This is where we are able to set boundaries when we have this one balanced. Feeling joy. Let's really spin that one and give it a nice big cleanse. Spinning, 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 spinning. For all of us that have trouble saying no at times, you can feel why it would be important to have this one balanced. Excellent. Give it a few more spins until it's bright, shiny orange. You guys are doing fabulous. Okay, now that one feels good, move up again to our solar plexus chakra. This one is the yellow one. This one is where we can make choices. We set our intentions through this one and have our will to do things. It involves self-direction, self-esteem, and the power of transformation. So let's spin this yellow light until it's bright, shiny, and sparkly clean. Spinning, spinning. Nice. Focus on spinning that one a little more. Perfect. can feel all the energies flying off to be vacuumed away. We're going to feel so good after this. All right. So now that that one's all shiny, let's move up to our heart chakra. This one's green. This one deals with love, and I give, I care, forgiveness, generosity. So let's spin this heart chakra until it's shiny green and infused with sparkles. We want to have a pretty heart chakra. And spinning, 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 spinning. Fabulous. Let's keep spinning that one. You're doing great. Spin it some more. Feels like everybody's is nice and sparkly, shiny. Okay, great. Now, if that one's back in place, let's move up to our throat chakra. This one is blue. We're going to spin that ball of light energy until it's shiny. This is the one where we have expression, where we listen, where we can communicate. It's all about using our voice. So let's spin, spin, spin this one. We can communicate clearly. Spinning, spinning. Fantastic. If you find that your throat chakra feels out of balance often, grab a sodalite or a lapis lazuli. Those stones will really help with that. I wear them when doing the radio show. It's really, really helpful. Okay, let's spin that one just a little bit more. You're doing fantastic. Okay, now that that one's all clean, let's move up to our third eye chakra located in our foreheads. This one has to do with telepathy, intuition, imagination, visualizing, all that good stuff that you've been doing. So this one is the darker purple color, and we're going to spin it until it's very sparkly. Nice. Keep spinning. Our intuition's located here, so we like to have this one clean so we can get our messages, right? Keep spinning. Excellent. Spinning, spinning. Perfect. Kate, now that it's nice and shiny, clean, deep, deep purple. I see a lot of yours as deep, deep purple. Beautiful. Okay, let's move up to our crown chakra located at the top of our head. Now, this one is a pale violet, or you might see it as clear. We're going to spin that ball of light until it's bright, shiny, clean, and sparkly. This is where our psychic and intuitive abilities can be found. Our faith, our connection to the divine, ability to trust life, values, ethics, courage. Lots of stuff happened in this crown chakra. So let's spin that one until it's really, really clean. Excellent. Great, you guys have been working on this. This one was pretty clean. Okay, so let's put that one where it's supposed to go. And remember, there's no way to do this wrong. Just the act of listening to my voice and doing this exercise will create the energies and it will happen. It's as simple as that. Let's visualize or imagine that ball of light again, just right above your head. And then you're going to move it down through your face, down through your neck, down through your chest, down through your pelvis. That ball of light's going to break into two, and each ball of light is going to go down your thighs, past your knees. You're going to feel refreshed, able to focus. You're going to have a lot of clarity after this meditation. Continue sending that ball of light through past your knees, down your shin, and out the bottoms of your feet. And ground you deep, deep, deep into Mother Earth. And then you can bring your awareness back to the room, back to your body. Meditation is about doing what feels natural to you. You're letting the energy do the work. Takes a little trust, takes a little faith, but if you practice it, you can come back to this meditation anytime and replay it. Have an excellent day.
Hey, everybody. Feels so good. Okay, so I just want to go back over some of the things about the root chakra because a lot of us are dealing with this right now. Okay, so if you're having issues of safety, if you're feeling very protective, which I know is a good indication for myself, I focus on a lot of, you know, putting myself in that bubble to protect myself. I will focus on a lot of protecting my children. I start to protect them. I visualize or imagine a hula hoop on the ground, and they're standing in the middle of it, and I shoot the hula hoop to the sky, and it creates like a column of energies to protect them with. That makes me feel better, and it does protect them. So if you find yourself kind of, you know, it can become an obsession where you're just constantly worried, make sure you're grounding yourself. Make sure you're eating some root vegetables. Grab a red stone. Red jasper is really good for this. Hematite, a ruby, a garnet. Just realize that things are going on in your world that are affecting your root chakra and do what you can to balance it. Wear something red that day. Color a picture with a red crayon. Just do something to get the energies back in a more balanced. Because as you can see, it's really easy for us to have these chakras unbalanced, and it escalates into something bigger than we would like it to. You know, that what about me feeling? Why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Those are all indications that our root chakra is unbalanced. And you know what? Let's face it. Our world is chaotic. A lot of times we have to work through these situations where it affects our root chakra and causes imbalances. But being aware of it and knowing, okay, this is what I'm worried about, so I'm going to go grab that red jasper, put it in my pocket or put it in my bra or find some jewelry with red jasper and just focus on being calmer, focusing on figuring out what are my priorities. Like, if I'm really worried about all of this, why am I worried about it? What do I need to have happen? What would I like to have happen? How can I handle all this? Because being reactionary and yelling and screaming may feel good in the moment, but it may not get you the results you want, right? So if you balance that chakra and then ground yourself and go from that point, you are automatically going to get better results. You will have clear thinking. And I've noticed that I have all this edgy energy. It's been excellent for my waistline because, you know, I don't sit or stop for very long because I need to get things moving. And my house is a little cleaner than usual, which I should invite company over just to prove it. But all these things help you. Do exercise. Do yoga. Go for a walk. Jump up and down and scream and have a hissy fit. Do what you need to do to work through the energy so you can approach whatever's happening from a calm, grounded state because it always gets you better results. So, I didn't realize the root chakra would take up all of our time. So next week, I'm going to talk about the sacral chakra. And that one is orange, and it's about I feel. And I'm going to share with you stories and situations where it's been unbalanced for me and how I handled it. And we will go from there, and we'll just keep going with our chakra series. So I wish you all a fabulous Wednesday. I'm going to sign off because I have some things to do, as you can imagine. So I will chat with you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with your host, myself, Shannon Lackman. If you'd like to learn more about me and what I offer, please go to my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. All my sessions and services are listed there. If you would like to get a deal, tell me that you listened to the radio show and use the code word, use the code word Raphael, and you will automatically get 20% off, because I will know that you've been listening to the radio show. I wish you all a most excellent day, and I hope you tune in soon.